Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
You know,
which as a Jew, I never understood why Jesus loved fish. What does it mean?
Honey, who doesn't love fish when she's serving it, you know? Let's be real.
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? It is me, Eric Williams, and this week we've got Justin Martindale on the podcast. You've heard his amazing show, Just Saying, and you've heard him guest on Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald, one of my husband's fave podcasts he listens to, and one, of course, I adore as well. This episode is so good because it's full of pop cult questions, beautiful references to queer inspirations growing up, and a devastating reveal about Justin's high school theater experience to stay tuned for. I've just had something crazy that happened to me the other day. I was walking Freddie, my rat terrier dog, and someone said something to me that I've not heard for at least 15 years. He says, "You're so tall, you should play basketball." I said, "Sweetie, I'm a 33-year-old gay man with a herniated disc. Like, the closest I'm getting to sports is the gym steam room. And, sweetheart, that's a different kind of ball game, okay?" And by that, I mean, I just said, thank you, and ran. Why do people think that if you have a certain quality that just requires you to play sport? Not today, Satan. Let's get into this episode with the Justin Martindale. I'm so happy he is here, not only for the laughs, but also he reveals at the end of the episode that he attended Lance Bass's wedding. He also reveals that he was blacklisted from doing Chelsea Handler's show Chelsea Lately. So just a lot of good stuff in this episode. If you enjoy, follow at @gayasspodcast. And you know the biggest thing that actually makes a difference is to send this episode to a friend or tell a friend that you listen so we can keep on growing, listening, and learning. I love you, Thaifuken, much. And let's get into this episode with Justin Martindale. It's Justin Martindale, and that's a gay-ass podcast. I've been manifesting this moment, and Justin, I'm so glad you're here. How are you, my baby girl?
Oh, I'm good. I'm so glad we finally got this worked out.
I know. This has been a long time coming with a C-U-M.
Yeah, it's true.
It really is. So I want to tell you, I can't explain how I first fell in love with you. I don't know if it was because of your podcast, Just Saying. I don't know if it's because of your social medias. I don't know if it's because of hearing you on Heather McDonald's Juicy Scoop, but it happened and that's all that matters. So it's a gay-ass collab of the Senge. Well, I needed to ask that you, before we were recording, mentioned Valentine's Day, and I know that this episode is just post V-Day. How was it? You and your boyfriend, Evan, are so cute.
Oh my gosh, yeah, he's the best. We had a good Valentine's Day. I mean, we went to Catalina like a week or so ago and did a day there, and, you know, not to be mushy, but every day is Valentine's Day with him.
Wait, how long have you been together?
Almost a year and a half. So,
and that's why every day feels so good.
I know. He's on a work trip right now, so I'm just like, ugh.
You miss him so much.
Yeah, that's good.
I do. I kind of grapple with this a lot because relationships are obviously wonderful, but if they had a drug, I've talked about this on this podcast, if they have a drug for that feeling that you have in your first year or two of a relationship, there's nothing like it. And I am very much still in love with my man, but like, I'm jealous. Is that okay to say to you? I'm jealous.
You're jealous?
I'm jealous that you're in that part of the relationship that is just like, you see the world in brighter colors.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's definitely, you know, we balance each other out very nicely. He's not in entertainment or any of that. And, you know, he just kind of showed up in a point of my life where I was just kind of ready.
And that is what a lot of people don't realize, is sometimes it's just the stars have aligned. Did you meet him IRL on app? How did it happen?
We actually met IRL. Which makes it even more special, I guess.
Paint the pitch. Where were you?
It was weird. Do you want to hear the story?
I 100% do.
Okay. So I have a friend who's an astrologer because I live in California. And he works for like Cosmopolitan. He's done some segments on like Access Hollywood, New York Post, all that jazz. So he had lived out here, the astrologer, for like over a year or so, or a couple years maybe, I don't know. But we had become friends during COVID, and he had done my podcast, my old podcast that I used to do, had him on as a guest, and he was like, 2021, you're going to meet somebody at the end of the fall.
Wow.
And this was maybe like June of 21. And I was just kind of like, yeah, okay, sure. Like, whatever. And then one night I had two sets up at the Comedy Store. And he was like, hey, I'm celebrating like my anniversary of living in LA because we throw those parties, I guess. And,
Listen.
I was like, you know what? It's like 11:30 already. Like, I'm not really, wanting to go out or whatever. And he's like, no, you need to like meet guys again. Like, we're back. And I was like, ugh, fine, okay. So I went down to this really bougie establishment called High Tops, and I'm looking at all these guys, and I'm like, I'm not really like feeling anybody. And then I like looked over and I saw Evan, and he was just like staring up at me. And I
Like,
was
no
like, oh,
chill,
you're
like
kind of
he.
cute and fun.
Oh,
And so we like started chatting throughout the night, but then we left without like exchanging numbers because we all forgot how to date.
sure.
And a couple days went by and I was like, and I got on Tinder and was going through the man's. And he popped up with a new haircut. And I was like, wait a minute, I was like, did I meet you this weekend? And he said back, I thought you looked familiar. And I was like, okay, sure.
Honey, he was barking up your tree playing. He had to play the cool card, and sometimes we just have to play. So then did you go on a date soon after that?
Oh yeah, we went on a date like either that day or the next day, something like that. Yeah.
Was there a magical kiss at the end?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. It was very, we had boundaries, which was great. And yeah, it was like I didn't want it to be this like, doors open, ass in the air kind of a thing. I was
Was that a previous chapter in your life where you were an
No,
ass up
no.
girl?
But I'm just old fashioned,
I
I
love
think
that.
I
Well,
was just getting
listen.
into Bridgerton and I wanted courtship.
You fuck with a doily on your head just for old time's sake. I love that so much. And I also think that the universe or the stars, depending on how you look at it, they were doing their thing, because the in-person plus the app, I feel like that's a sign that it happened for a reason.
Yeah, for sure. And it's so funny because his birthday was last week, or yeah, last week. And we went out for his birthday, and the astrologer was there, and he's just like taking all the credit, He's like,
Is he so he's obviously a gay astrologer, having had his
yeah, he's
hangout at
like,
the
I did this. You are
Can
welcome.
you name drop him? Do we know him?
Kyle Thomas, astrologer, is
Kyle
his name
Thomas Astrologer.
on
Okay,
Instagram.
everybody, if you want love, Kyle Thomas will tell you who, when, where, and
He,
how.
I mean, and he will. He will. He knows it all. Like it's he's kind of wild.
Does he go just beyond the dating? I mean, I assume he goes beyond dating stuff. Will he tell me, like, if I'm gonna be able to afford a house?
Probably.
Okay.
He's like, what's your moon? When's your birthday? What did you eat last? Like that kind of like he knows it
Hell
all.
yeah. Kyle Thomas?
Kyle Thomas, astrologer.
Kyle Thomas Astrologer. Oh wow. I can't wait to dive deep into Kyle's DMs and
Oh yeah.
see what's on the horizon. Okay, so then that is stunning. So yeah, I don't know. Valentine's Day for me was, we went to the Capri Room at Buca di Beppo. Dorit Grimsley's, of course, famous piece of art.
Dorit's Buca di Beppo.
Dorit's Buca di Beppo in Encino. And I have to say, my expectations weren't high, but the food was great.
Well, yeah, it's Buca di Beppo.
I'd never been before. I like it was, I guess, a blind spot.
It's like a macaroni grill or like a.
Well, I thought it was going to be more Olive Garden-esque, but like I did not feel gross after eating it. I over only overindulged a tiny bit, but I feel like the fake lemons hanging above me really kept me in check.
Oh, the good old fashioned. Well, how was it? Definitely an experience where you're like, wow, this is so chic.
It was so chic. Yeah. I mean, I think what added to the chicness is that they walk you through the kitchen and then they point out the kitchen table to your left, which is just a booth in a kitchen. And you're literally watching people make minimum wage put frozen soup into a bowl. I mean, I'm sure it was more homemade than that, but it just, I loved every minute of the experience. And I don't know, I think that's probably why I'm like kind of half joking about being jealous of where you are in your relationship, because I just, when it now that it becomes Valentine's Day, we're going to hit this fall our 10th year together. And
oh, wow.
I like found myself this year by no means resenting the holiday. It was just like, it felt like a forced day to show my love when I would rather show my love in smaller ways in other days, you know. Ooh. And it's like almost like I was having a rebellious like teenage moment, like I'm not gonna tell him I love him when it's like, well, actually I probably should. But but the Buca di Beppo ending to the night was exactly, I feel like we poked fun at the holiday but also bonded, and that's all I could wish for.
Yeah I mean that's it's funny too, because he was supposed to leave for his trip on Valentine's Day. Mm. And he was like, I'm not going to be here for Valentine's Day. And I was like, oh, and I was a little sad, you know. And then we both ended up getting like colds, like crazy, you know, not COVID. We tested everyone, multiple tests. And we just had like that congestion or whatever, like, you know, it rained for like 4 months here. And then, you know, now it's pollen and all that crap. But he was just like, I'm a little under the weather, so I'm going to actually end up staying. And I was like, damn it. Now I have to get him something.
Oy vey. That is, and then he got, you told me he got you AirPods?
I know. He got me like new AirPods that I can't even figure out. AirPods. Sorry. I don't even know how to call them.
No, but, I called them the wrong thing. What did you get him?
What did I get him? My love.
Chuck.
And I got him a nice little card. And, you know, that's the thing. It's like we get each other like stuff all the time. So it's like, you know, it's not like.
I love you guys.
We're kind of gross, but it's fun. You know, it's healthy. I like it.
I love that for you. And I have to say, like, I'm a fan of your love. I'm a fan of your pod. The fact that you were able to interview the voice of Megan on your fucking podcast, I cannot believe. So Jenna Davis is her name. You have such a funny clip where you ask her, like, her favorite line from the movie. And what did she say? She's like,
it's insane, right?
It's insane, right?
Which was my favorite line. So she said it, and I was like, ah!
It is so good. But I also was so interested that her Instagram profile is, she has a Bible verse listed in there, and the movie is fully embraced by us demon worshipers. And I wonder if she has an opinion about that.
I don't know. I mean, I did ask her in my interview. I was like, what is it? I go, what do you think it is about Megan that makes her kind of like a gay icon? Because I remember when I saw that trailer pop up back in the fall, I was like, what is this hot mess I'm in? Mm-hmm. And she was just like, I think it's just, you know, she's just kind of this doll that everybody, you know, kind of like went around the whole thing. But
yeah, well, because it could really go, I don't want to paint a picture that anybody who is, of course, religious is a bigot. But I will say, when you see the verse in the chapter, I think it's like you know where they say like we have to code switch when you're in certain scenarios? Like, I feel like if I find out that there's a biblical reference in a profile, I'm not going to be making like whole jokes, you know, like, and I'm sure there's a Jesus worshiper out there, or two or three who like, no, or 10 or 12 who love to talk about gaping holes and worship the Lord.
Sure. I agree. I also think she's, you know, she's only 18 or 19 years old.
Oh, okay.
And she's from Texas. I was like, I remember that time in my life. I was the same person. I was like, you know, I had the little Christian fish on the back of my truck.
Sure.
And, you know.
Which as a Jew, I never understood why Jesus loved fish. What does it mean?
Honey, who doesn't love fish when she's serving it, you know? Let's be real. She's serving
Jesus
it.
Jesus is serving fish, honey.
It was the whole like loaves of bread and the fish. Sure, that story.
I believe you.
A fish is way cuter than like a baguette on the back of your truck, you know?
I disagree, but to each their own. I grew up with St. Louis Bread Co., also known as Panera, and those baguettes, I would say, queered the fuck out of me.
I love a queer baguette.
Are you kidding? Not only is it shaped perfectly, but there's a gorgeous, dense sweetness to it that made me want to dig in.
They're called faggots.
Faggots for a reason. I also want to give you props for when you had Adam Ray on the podcast. You were defending Rihanna's performance at the Super Bowl. And Hold on.
That was before the Super Bowl.
I know it was. And that's why when the performance came out and then you were like on the right side of herstory. Because here's what happened is that I was unable to watch the Super Bowl. And then I only was able to do the cursed thing, which is read the discourse. And the discourse, from my perspective, was that she did not move more than an inch and that it was a bad show. And then I watched it while I was waiting for Matt to pick me up at the airport. I was smiling ear to ear, bopping the camera angles. Her dancers did all the work for her, and the woman is growing life inside of her. And I just want to thank you for your service because I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was good. Like, that's the funny thing. It's like, first of all, she was also levitating on like plexiglass.
Yeah.
And here's my theory. I think everyone was kind of wanting like a roster of people. Like, she didn't bring up Kanye West. There was a rumor that I heard through the grapevine from a Juicy Scooper who was like, my friend works for Christina Aguilera. And they said that she was going to pop in. And I was like, well, what song would she do? And I was like, well, maybe she's going to do S&M and like fill in for Britney.
Oh, wow.
Or whatever. And so then I remember, do you remember the part in the Super Bowl where all the dancers were coming in and out?
Yes.
And I was like, okay, here, we're going to get a reveal of like the first celeb or whatever. And then it was just Rihanna. And I was like, oh, at the end of the day, I was like, she's probably just like pregnant and like wanting to just get this done. She's tired of people asking her when her album's coming out, if she's doing a tour. She's like, look, I'm pregnant. I'm here. This is what you're getting. I don't want to have to deal with Christina Aguilera's schedule. Or whoever, you know, she's like,
she says it's too much admin. I'm just going to do some choreo and I'm going to do a commercial for all of my products. And who are we to blame her for that? I thought it was genius.
And her stocks went up like 885% or something like that.
Bitch better have her money in her.
Yeah, and she didn't get paid. So it's like, what did your mom do when she was pregnant with you? Mine did not balance on like plexiglass at the Super Bowl halftime. She was eating mustard and pickles.
Hello. I think, too, that the Super Bowl performance is almost as political as the literal presidential elections, because name one Super Bowl performance that the majority of the audience has loved it. Like,
come remember together.
There's never a person like that can make everyone be like, that was good. Like, yeah. I remember the dumb J-Lo, like, on the pole. And then, of course, Beyonce, everyone thought it was too political.
Well, no, she was, like, Illuminati and, like...
Yeah. And the Rihanna thing that she's a demon worshiper. I'm so tired of existing.
Well, don't say that, but I think it's... I agree. Like, nothing is ever good enough.
Yeah, nothing is ever good enough. But I will say that one of the biggest compliments that I think anyone has given me is about, like, I think sometimes I get, if I'm being honest, like, sometimes emotionally a little exhausted by all the things I read about the hatred towards really just anyone that's not, you know, straight. And in the mainstream. And it's, and I think that the nicest thing that I've ever heard is like that just by being who we're being is like the act of resistance. And I think that the reason why I love your show so much is because it really is like queer excellence and fun and joy. And I think that in itself is like a very important thing that we can do. But yeah, sometimes when I read that, I'm like, God, like, leave Sam Smith alone.
Oh my God. Can I just say that? I think I actually talked about it in this week's episode because he was at the Brit Awards in that like big balloon thing.
And they slayed.
And I'm like, shut up. Shut. You know what? It is a red carpet. We haven't had red carpets in 2 years. And like, if he wants to dress up like that, and mind you, there were other people dressed up as, you know, if you want to call it ridiculous or avant-garde or whatever, that nobody talked about. And I'm like, I'm here for like Sam Smith's like thick boy thought phase. Yeah. let him go or let them go. I'm still working on those.
Well, the thing is with Sam, I think that you're right that there's just so much like a target on their back because just of like the type of different that they are. But I just because we're bringing them up, there's a video of Sam Smith and Kim Petras at a different award show, not the Grammys. I'm going to pull it up for you right now. It's they finish doing something unholy. And then you hear a scream.
I hear that song one more time. every himbo Instagram thought has that in their video. And I'm like, okay, I can't anymore.
Well, that's a whole other, the himbo thoughtery is, sometimes I'm thankful. Sometimes I want to claw my eyes out. Listen to the scream at the end of this clip. I'm gonna do it one more time. Listen to the scream as if she's being speared.
That's Cam or Sam?
That's a person in the audience going,
"Oh, good." I mean, and I think it's just so stupid where everyone's like, you know, I feel like there's ways of being funny with a critique, and then there's points of just being awful and mean
and hateful. Yeah. I
have
totally
a buddy of mine who's a comic who's a little controversial, but that's the whole point of it. His name's Tim Dillon,
and and
he he called Sam Smith a brave plumber. Like, he looks like a brave plumber, and I just thought that was so funny. I was like, oh, just the brave and plumber. And I just commented, brave plumber. That's all I said. And people were like, this is exactly what's wrong with them. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm literally just saying what he said in his video.
Yeah.
You guys all need to relax.
Well, yeah. I think you're right that if you are going to have a sass or a snap, if it's funny, and it comes from a place of just like being funny, it's so different than like, Sam does not deserve respect. It's like, okay, well,
yeah, we should launch him into the sun. Like,
their BMI does not deserve respect. It's like, okay, now we're on a different level.
Well, and also I think it's interesting because, you know, I feel like in a weird sense, we're okay to be critical when it comes to like a female, right? But then when it's a guy doing it, it's kind of a weird reverse where it's like, well, if this was a woman, it would be different. Like the fashion and the style is almost reversed when it's a guy. For instance, Harry Styles wearing a dress. There was somebody else recently who was wearing who showed up in a dress. It might have been Robert Pattinson, I think. And then you have Sam Smith wearing kind of avant-garde, Lil Nas X wearing whatever. But if it's like a Lady Gaga or somebody else, there, it's kind of like, oh, well, she's just being weird, you know?
Or the criticism is very different, where if like Lady Gaga's like, they're weird and it's too weird for me, versus if a man or, you know, someone that looks, you know, presents as male is like wearing something feminine, then all of a sudden it's like all the guys are like, how fucking dare this? Yeah. That is affronting my masculinity. It's like, no, you just have a very fragile sense of yourself.
Exactly. And like Billy Porter wearing an Oscar tuxedo, you know, dress.
Yeah.
And guys being like, that's too gay. I'm like, I want to see you go out in public and wear.
Can you walk in a heel, even a kitten heel? I dare you.
Dare you.
God, I'd love to see that. Any straight man that bullied me growing up, to see them attempt to walk in heels and then break an ankle. I don't wish them actual pain, but it'd be fun to watch.
But something close to it.
Yeah, something close to it. I want to ask you the famous podcast question. Justin Martindale, whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame, babe?
I was born this way, I swear. As far as like what, pop culture or like
anything that you remember feeling as a younger person that gave you the gay tingles in your tummy or in your hole or your peenie. And it could be pop culture, it could be sexual, it could be a teacher. It's anything that comes in your brain.
I mean, I think for me, it was probably like He-Man, Rainbow Bright.
Rainbow Bright.
Yeah. Like, there's a video of me somewhere where my aunt got me a Rainbow Bright's horse, Starlight, for like Christmas or my birthday or something like that. And I opened it up and I'm like, oh my God, Rainbow Bright. And I'm like 3 or 4. And my mom just like looks over at my aunt and was like, really? And like, so I think it was that.
Was the really bitch like, you're tapping into my son's girliness? How dare you?
It's like, great. And I also think probably Atreyu and the Neverending Story.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Wait, Atreyu. Give us the description.
Atreyu was like the lone, like, hunter of the purple buffalo in Neverending Story who has to go save the Empress and all of Fantasia. I mean, right off the bat, you're getting the word Empress and Fantasia. Like,
gay.
Who later wins American Idol in the future, and stars in The Color Purple on Broadway.
And the movie.
And then probably growing up, like getting a little older, is probably Zach Morris in Saved by the Bell. Like, ooh, and then when they did the like summer beach house and he had like his shirt off, I was like, done for.
Do you think that Zach Morris shaped your taste in men? And I want to be respectful to your boyfriend Evan, but when you're like in a room full of people, is there like a type of man in addition to exactly what Evan looks like that you feel very much into? Like, are you a daddy's girl? Are you?
I mean, now I'm a daddy. Apparently, I think maybe I just kind of like that like all American surfer boy,
Zach Morris.
You know, I was growing up in Texas, so I'm like looking at these, you know, I'm looking around at the guys in Texas and I'm like, God. And then you see like these LA, like, you know, 90s models pretty much, you know.
So you're describing an Abercrombie bag.
Abercrombie and Fitch, for sure.
That was
remember,
huge.
And also that kind of peaked there with the Abercrombie where, well, not peaked. I think it was like on the precipice of like coming out was like Abercrombie where there were no clothes on the models. It was just like pubes and abs. And I was like, oh my God.
And V and like the V line that leads down to the pubes. But let's be very clear. There was not enough body hair in my estimation. I think I don't want to make any assumptions about you, but as someone who is very hairy presenting, it was like, it was so alluring to see those men in those bags, and then made me deeply hate my, like deeply feel sad about my situation.
Oh yeah, I have like there's no
wow, see,
nothing. I've always been hairless. It's the weirdest thing.
How so? Wait, I never get to really like dive into the hairlessness of it all. Do you
nope.
That's like hairless privilege, I would say, because you never had to worry, like you never had to like hide your shoulders.
No, there was no hiding of the shoulders. Plus, my shoulders are like oxen shoulders. I have very, very broad shoulders. But no, there's never like chest hair. I have like a little bit of like belly fuzz and that's it. Like no butt, no nothing. My leg hair is like wispy and blonde. It's the
really?
Weirdest thing.
Really? What do you feel? How did you feel about the growing up? Did your opinion change of it as a kid versus as an adult?
Kind of now, yeah. Like, Evan's hairy, but like, and he makes fun of me for it. And he's just like, you know, even today we jumped on a call and he was just like, how'd you sleep? And I was like, I was a little cold. And he's like, oh, hairless. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like a hairless cat in this like bed by myself.
And he's always wearing a sweater.
And he's always in a sweater and like the bed's always hot. So
I always used to feel so jealous. And honestly, I can be so frank about like how I felt about myself with those Abercrombie bags because now I enjoy like being a hairy person, but it really like I was so ashamed in PE class as a young kid. It just like really and I do think it was exacerbated because of Zach Morris and the Abercrombie of it all, because that was like what you were supposed to be, what the hottest thing was, a teeny bit of the word happy trail would like trigger me.
Oh yeah.
Because I was like, I wish I only had a trail instead of a forest.
Yeah, but you had a screaming trail.
a hysteric trail.
But see, now I think it's like back in style, you know?
Thank God.
Like, yeah, I'm like, if I see guys that are, you know, too smooth. And I guess it's just me also being older, where it's like I have an appreciation for, you know, hairy guys. And, you know, if I see like a porn or something, and I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, what? Come on.
Where's the hair?
Where is the wig? Yeah. Where's the
American?
Yeah.
I also want to make sure you feel validated in the light bright journey, because it for me, I remember the excitement felt a little dangerous for how much I wanted to play with that thing. Just like, it's the cliche, but just like the Barbies of it all, there's just something. I hope that kids now, and I think that my brothers who are raising small kids, like when their kid expresses joy in a makeup brush or something, like I think it's to certain communities much more acceptable now. But God, did it feel like you were going on the edge of society whenever you showed. I mean, you were 4 years old and your mom gave your aunt sass.
Yeah. And I mean, like, even expressing creativity, whether it was like tie dye or anything with like color.
Tie dye.
Remember the little like top spin thing where you like mix the paint, it would like marbleize the.
Vaguely, it's
it was like a craft toy, but like you would add paint, it would splatter, and like,
oh yeah.
And that's what kind of makes me sad now, is like you're looking at, you know, kids who want to pick up a makeup brush, and everyone like wants to associate it with, oh, he wants to be a woman, oh, he wants to be a drag queen. I'm like, maybe he just wants to like pick up a brush and express himself, and maybe go on to be like one of the biggest makeup artists of all time. Like an Akela Kwan, or like, you know, some special effects makeup artist. Like,
well, I think that's kind of like, I totally see what you're saying, but I feel like some people worry that that is what's happening, when probably the reality is like a lot of times what you're describing is, ooh, that it's just a kid that is either into makeup or like that's, I mean, that's kind of like your joke about, you've made, that I love so much about, when if you want to tell a parent who has kids that their kid is gay, just watch them walk into wind and see if they put on a show.
Yes. Let them feel it. A bitchy wind will always out your kid.
Always. But I think that I like loved going to get my mom's nails done with her, because I would then do them on my own. Just my thumb, because that was just safe enough.
Yes. I agree. And I also love the smell of it, too.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, it's probably similar to poppers, but that's another conversation. But
child poppers.
Child poppers is growing up in San Antonio. What was the coming out experience like? Did you wait to leave San Antonio till you came out, or what was the journey?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I get asked this a bunch, and it was like, my high school for me was just perfect. Like, I went to a private school at the beginning of like my freshman year, and it was like a Christian school, and the tuition was just, it just got too high because there was, for my parents, because all four of us, there's four of us kids. And So my parents were like, you know, you're going to have to go to public school. And I was terrified, because I remember being like, I'm going to get shot, and like, I'm going to, you know, get beat up by gangs. And this was like a 5A school, which was like top tier high school. And I got there, I transferred my sophomore year, and I just dove right into the theater department there, and really got a group of friends. They're kind of like the misfits, the outcasts, all that kind of stuff. And then from there, branched out from theater into like, I was the mascot of my high school.
What was the mascot? What was the...
Oh, the cougar, honey.
Honey. She was a cougar at 17.
Got in with all the jocks and everything, and the cheerleaders, and then like by the end of my senior year in high school, I was like homecoming king, and like,
wow, a glow up.
It was such a glow up, and sexuality wasn't really discussed. It was just kind of like, okay, boy, girl, and that's it, you know. But I did have like, there was like a sexual awakening for me in high school, where this like jock, I was wearing white underwear, like tidy whities, and we were doing a production, and I had to wear like this sheer garment on stage, and I was like, oh God, if the light hits me, this is me like not knowing I was gay. If the light hits me, everyone will see. Like, I knew, like, light direction already. And I remember asking him, like, he was, like, a football player. And I was like, hey, do you have, like, an extra pair of boxers or anything I could wear so, like, it's not as humiliating when the light hits me? And he's like, yeah, just wear mine. And he pulls his, like, underwear off, like, right in front of me. And I was like...
And did just, you like, see his
giblets? Oh, all of it. It was, like, a dream. I was like, oh, my God. And it's so funny because at my high school reunion, I got shit-faced and told him that story. And he was like, okay. And like, did not look like, you know, he did then, obviously. But I was just like, I just have to get this off my chest. Like, when you gave me your underwear, and like, his wife is like, what?
It was so nice to meet you, hun.
She's like, what happened in high school? And I'm like, your husband gave me his underwear and really saved the day, and I got to see it all. And she's like, okay, well, this is
I was going to say, like, your husband, perfect.
I mean, it was just like that typical, like, dream, like, heartstopper, queer as folk moment where I was just like, oh. It was perfect.
Friday Night Lights. Yes. Truly. So, well, now, since this is a Fagotrini podcast arena too, what musicals did you do in high school?
I didn't do any musicals.
Only straight plays?
Only straight plays.
Oh, she's an actress. Okay.
She was a Shakespeare.
Let me guess.
She was Ibsen. She was a Chekhov girl.
Yes, ma'am. Did you do Uncle Vaughn? What'd you do? Did you do Our Town?
I didn't do Uncle Vaughn, yeah. No. I did, like, I mean, as far as, like, the classics go. I mean, I did. Oh my gosh, I did Shakespeare a lot for sure.
Ew. Wait, why did you not musicals? Who hurt you?
This guy. I don't want to mention his name, but yeah, I was singing once, and he was just like, "Yeah, no, you don't sound good." And it's funny too because it's like I can feel like I carry a tune, and people have been like, "Do you sing? Have you ever sung before?" And I'm like, "No."
I'm not just saying this. Your speaking voice sounds like you would be a good singer. And oh, whoever that person is, I think, you know, did a thing that they should not have did.
I never was like a very musical theater person. I mean, I did like Samuel Beckett and like Christopher Durang and like all like.
Okay, the Oscar goes too. Who knew that Justin Martindale was such a serious actress?
I was like doing like. These crazy plays.
And... Like, I never do Bye Bye Birdie, but I will do A Doll's House.
Yes, okay. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Have fun with Kinky Boots. I'm going to be doing Waiting for Godot. Yeah.
Said one gay person, which is you. Yeah, well, then that means, am I allowed to ask you about the Little Mermaid trailer that just, quote unquote, revealed Melissa McCarthy? What was that?
Stupid. It was so dumb. I'm like, can we just... Like, and that really pissed me off because I was that guy at the Super Bowl party where I was like, uh-huh. We're getting the Little Mermaid trailer. So help me God, wait for it. And then it never happened. And I was like, well, this sucks. And then the teaser trailer, I'm just kind of like, I'm on the fence.
I think the movie itself is going to radicalize a group of young boys to be gay. I do think it's going to be perfect, but I am... You know, like the one that got away to me is Lizzo never booked Ursula. Like, I'm hoping Melissa McCarthy delivers, but I think it's going to be all about Ariel and not as much about Ursula as we would like.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like, oh, she's the villain, but like, I don't know, we could be wrong. I felt the same with like Scar in the Lion King remake and the live action. Like, I just feel like the villains are just kind of. Eh, you know,
where gay people really like a good villain.
Yeah, I mean,
like, when done right.
If we're not getting Melissa McCarthy as Ursula as like the epitome gay villain, then so help me God, we better get Louis the chef as like the gay chef. Like, give us something. Like, and also, can we talk? No one's talking about Awkwafina as Scuttle.
Oh my God, I don't even know. Didn't even remember that.
Yeah, like Awkwafina playing Billy Hackett. It's a Scuttle. Like, what?
Yeah, the jury's out. I'm hopeful and nervous, but let's all be there for each other in this tough time. Let's just all support each other.
We have to.
And that's all we can do is in this anticipation. With that in mind, then let me ask you the next podcast question. Yes. What deals with these character actresses? Justin Martindale. If the world was ending, you could only save one character actress. Who would you save?
Character actress of all time. I mean, Catherine O'Hara.
Gorgeous answer. Were you watching like the Christopher Guest things as a kid in Texas?
Oh, for sure. Like Waiting for Guffman is like one of my favorites. Anything Catherine O'Hara or Jennifer Coolidge. I mean, she's
huge
right now. I mean,
she is.
Those two.
I will say that Jennifer Coolidge, with what's happened with The White Lotus, I think that obviously Catherine O'Hara's career has been insane. I know that Schitt's Creek is a huge hit, but I'm curious what the next move will be for Catherine O'Hara, similar to how I feel about Parker Posey, because I just saw that Parker Posey is doing something, but I think there needs to be a room of celebrities standing with applause for her at the next Golden Globes. Like, I think that Catherine O'Hara and Parker Posey both deserve what Jennifer Coolidge is getting right now.
Oh, I mean, I think there's like a whole group of them that need. I mean, Catherine O'Hara obviously got, you know, the Emmy and everything for, you know, Moira Rose. But like, I definitely feel like there's a group of character actresses out there who deserve theirs. Like Parker Posey was just in, God, what was it? She was playing like the police detective.
Yeah, yeah. She played like a Southern.
Was it The Staircase? It might have been
Staircase. Yes, it was The Staircase. Yes, yeah. There you go.
But yeah, and I thought that was campy and fun, but I do need her to kind of, I like, give me her and Aubrey Plaza in something. That would be fantastic.
Justin, the casting directress. That's really good. I'm also thrilled that Book Club is getting a sequel.
Wait, the new one?
Book Club.
Aren't they going to like Italy or something?
Yeah. I can't wait. I mean, like, I watched the first one in movie theaters and I was like, it's a gay Fantasia. And then I watched it on a plane. I was like, oh, this is so dumb, but it's still got the job done.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think now that I'm like on this thought process of like, I've said this before. She was on my podcast. I'm ready for like a Sherry O'Terry renaissance.
Oh my God. Maybe yes.
Caroline Ray renaissance. Like, yes. You know,
well, and Molly Shannon, thank goodness that she has had big things recently, too, because she is also that girl.
Agreed. There's so many, like, funny, wild female comedian women that I'm just, like, rooting for. Because every time I'm with Caroline Ray, like, she just cracks me up. Like,
oh my God, so good. Well, speaking of another powerful woman, Heather McDonald, how did you get involved with doing her podcast? I know a lot of people love Juicy Scoop, including my husband. What was the journey to that?
I honestly can't remember. I think I started doing that in like 2019, I believe,
wow,
or like something like that. And I have known Heather for many years. We've gone to like several of the same events together. Mm-hmm. Like we were both at like Lance Bass's wedding and then like events around town or something like that. I can't remember. But then she, you know, obviously she was on Chelsea Lately. Mm-hmm. And I was blacklisted from Chelsea Lately.
Why?
So my name was like around. It's like a whole thing. Like I got drunk at a Christmas party and Chelsea Lately like threw me out. And so I got to never do the show ever again. And I was like, or ever for that matter. And I was like, wait, what? Like, isn't this event sponsored by Belvedere Vodka? Isn't this how you made your career? What's wrong with me? So that was a fun 3 years of like psychological trauma, thinking that I was never going to work in LA ever. And like, I knew, like, it was like when Chelsea was at her peak, you know, wherever, like, every comedian was like, I'm going to be on Chelsea tonight. And every time I got brought up on stage, people were like, you've seen him on Chelsea Lately. And I was like, you've never seen me on that. But here we are.
You've heard the story about why I'm not doing Chelsea Lately.
Yeah. And so I think Heather just kind of knew my name from around the comedy circuit in LA. Yeah. And she had me on and we just like clicked. And She's just fun, and she's exactly who she is on her podcast, and I admire her so much for that. And
yeah, talk also, about sticking to your guns, even though when the people there are some haters and whatever.
There's always haters. I mean, there's always people who are telling me, like, you're not funny, like, stop doing this podcast, we don't like you, like, and then you have the people who were like, oh my God, you're my favorite person on the podcast, like, this is my dream lineup, you know, Chris Frangiola, you know, Justin, Julie, and Brandy, like, we all get along. Like, that's the reality of it. Like, we're all just doing this and having fun doing it. But yeah, it is interesting seeing some of her followers kind of turn into like Drag Race fans.
Oh my God.
Where you're just kind of like, where you get a message saying like, kill yourself. And you're like, can I have my coffee first? Like,
it is 8:15.
Exactly.
Well, I do think you're bearing the lead a little bit in the fact that you were at Lance Bass's wedding. How are the hors d'oeuvres?
They were fine. It was good. It was just so funny because Heather and I have talked about that. I remember looking over, they had us all. They had like me, Fortune, Eliza Schlesinger, Retta in like one aisle because they were like, put the comedians together. And then I think like Jay Rodriguez was like behind us or something like that. And I like looked over and like the wedding started and I just see Heather like in this like beautiful dress leaning up against like a pillar with a martini. And they're like, we need her to sit down. And she was like, so I just remember telling her that story. I was like, yeah, I remember you at Lisa's wedding just leaning up against this pillar with a martini. And she's
listen,
like, yeah.
Camera ready.
Oh, always. And I mean, my God, like she's killing it every week, you know, every week her podcast is at the top and she has amazing fans. I'm not trying to be like, you know, she trolls come out of the woodwork.
Of course. Well, I think it's a testament to just like the passion that people feel towards the things that she discusses. I mean, just like with Drag Race, Bravo and all of it.
And I kind of want to say this just because a lot of people don't know how the show is done, but it's like, I go into it really with no like prep.
Yeah.
Like when we first started, she'd be like, this is what we're going to talk about. So there was kind of like a structure to it, but now I kind of go in and she just goes and we just talk. So it's all very like unfiltered. It's all very real. It's all very like spur of the moment. And honestly, like if I don't have an opinion on something, I'll try to like make sense of what I'm learning from what she's talking about.
Yeah.
And then of course you get the people who are just like, you have no idea what you're talking about. And I'm like, maybe I don't, but like, sorry.
Wow. I mean, it's a peek behind the Heather McDonald curtain is so good to see. But I have to say, like, what you are doing is fucking great. And I'm so glad that you are on this fucking podcast, which brings us, unfortunately, to the final question I have to ask you.
Okay.
Justin Martindale, what is the best Whoopi Goldberg film?
Oh, God. What is the best Whoopi Goldberg film? What's your favorite? Can I ask yours?
Sister Act 2, Back in the Goddamn Habit.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I mean, okay, I was going to say Sister Act 2, but I mean,
Since I said it, you're going to change your mind?
No, because I mean, that is such a good, I mean, I'm just such a, I'm a ghost boy. I love Oda Mae Brown. I love the character work that she does. It's just, it got her an Oscar.
Yes, you know? It did. It's and a great answer. I want you to feel so proud and so good for saying that you are a ghost boy. And
I am a ghost boy.
And the ghost girls listening to this are cheering while they're doing the dishes. Oh, Justin Martindale, thank you so much for coming on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. Where can people follow you?
Oh my gosh, please follow me on Instagram at Justin Martindale. Listen to my podcast, Just Saying. And I've got some dates coming up where you can see me live, which I'm just kind of waiting on one right now. for New York, hopefully next month. So that'll be great. Yes. If you're in the New York area, I'd love to come see you. So I'll make that announcement on my Instagram when the time comes. But
definitely follow Justin. Definitely see him live and definitely listen to Just Saying. Thank you so much, Justin. I am such a fan and you're the best.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate it.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals, only at Smoothie King.